I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode number 116 of the Ridge Hunter Outdoors podcast. This week, we're talking with Dusty. He was able to come in. He didn't make it for the end of the campfire episode. He thought he was going to be able to. He had some stuff come up. So wanted to get him in and talk about the season he had. And we actually hit on a lot of different stuff. We got over into a lot of topics, from scouting to food plotting to, I mean, you name it. We covered a lot of stuff in this episode, so I thought it was really good information. Hopefully you guys get something out of it. And just again, going back over the season that he had with four bucks being killed in front of him, you know, he shot two. His son and his daughter both killed really nice deer this year as well. So it was a good season for him, and we kind of got to talk about that. And all that's on Fall Pursuit, too, so you guys can go check that out. But let's get into that conversation. I think you guys are going to enjoy it. This is the Ridge Hunter Outdoors Podcast. All right, we got Dusty in the studios again. I don't remember the last time. Was it before this past season? Did we do one? It wasn't during the season, was it?
I can't remember.
I don't remember either. Anyway, we've had your dad on more recently than you this go-round.
Yeah.
To talk about his season, which turned out pretty well.
Yeah.
To say the least.
Yeah, he had a once-in-a-lifetime probably deal. Hopefully it ain't, but...
Right. Almost 350 inches of antler, right?
Yeah.
It was the first one 140s. Almost right at 140.
Yeah, it was right around 140 something. Pretty heavy, solid deer. I think he was a 6.5-year-old deer.
Yeah, he was a really good deer.
Yeah, he was.
But it was funny when he brought him in. He brought both bracts in. It's like when we go to the Iowa show. We talk about that. Like all the 140s up there look like dinks because everything in the building's 170 plus.
Right.
For their big buck showcase, when you put the almost 210 next to 140, it's like, yeah,
it's crazy. A guy don't realize how big a 200-inch frame deer is.
Yeah.
I mean, 29-inch main beams.
That's hard to appreciate till you actually
see it in person. Hold it in your hands. You know, I've held some big deer in my hands, and that's probably the biggest typical that I have ever held in my hands. I mean, it's just a giant deer.
I think frame-wise, it's the biggest one that I've seen. Yeah. Well, aside from, like, the Iowa show, you know.
Right,
I mean?
Yeah.
But, like, especially around here, or ones that have been brought in the shop, or deer that I've, you know, seen that have been killed. Yeah. As far as just a like you said, a typical 200-plus, you know.
Yeah, I mean, some stickers off the bases. And
yeah, but not much.
No. No, I think he only had, like, 9 inches of extra points or something like that.
Yeah.
And I think He had 6 or 8 inches broke off.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, you're talking 214, 215.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy. I was showing you, did I show you the shed off that deer when he was three?
Yep.
So, yeah, that was crazy. I went and started digging through some sheds and stuff. And on our Hamilton County farm, that deer was there at 3.5.
Yeah.
And he moved 6 miles to our other farm.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't a frequent deer, I don't really think, but, I mean, he was in and out.
Right.
You know.
Enough where you had a little bit of history with him.
Yeah. We had pictures of him and stuff. One year we really thought he was in the upper 230s.
Mm-hmm.
I really think Dad shot him at 8.5.
Yeah.
And he had went down a little bit. But just a super, super nice deer. I was just tickled with him.
For sure. you know, honestly, you look at in a lot of the sheds that we were looking at the other night that you got, you see those deer when they're 3.5 and 4.5 even in some cases.
Mm-hmm.
Like at 3.5, that's a deer a lot of people would shoot.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And again, nothing wrong with it if it's a deer you want to kill, whatever.
Yep.
you just can't complain about not being able to shoot a 200-inch deer if you shoot that deer at three. Right. You know, and it's that's a testament to the management.
It is, you know, and, you know, like just this past week, you know, I was talking to you about a neighbor that had shot a deer.
Mm-hmm.
And earlier in the year, he kind of wanted to know what we were passing and stuff like that. And he kind of wanted to get on board. And, I mean, the first thing I asked him was, what's the biggest deer you've ever killed? And he's like, 138. And I was like, you just need to shoot something bigger than what you've killed.
Right.
And then, you know, once you get up there to a certain level, then start shooting your age and stuff
yeah,
like that,
right.
You know. But you got to get some deer under your belt, you know. We've yep. all done it. I've done it, you know. I mean, mm-hmm. back in the day, you know, we killed as many deer as we could, you know,
oh, yeah.
and stuff. Yep. And that's how I did it. I just started building myself up for a little better deer, or if this deer was unique or something mm-hmm. like that. And then I got into hunting what you call trophy deer.
Right.
And honestly, I mean, I didn't have a lot of fun doing that.
It right.
turned into a job.
Yep.
I mean, I killed some big deer doing it, but it just got to where it was just, mm-hmm. man, why am I doing this? Why am I passing some of these deer up?
Yep.
And anymore, you know, yeah, I'll go hunt a big deer, but most of the time I'm not going to pass 5-6-year-old deer up,
right.
especially 6-year-old deer. I mean, we let some fives walk this year, but they were some deer that mainly in Hamilton County that we really wanted to let go
yeah.
another year because they can survive down there better than what they can up even at the farm in Wayne County.
Right.
You know.
Right. Yeah, that's what I was going to say because you were talking about that getting to where it wasn't even fun. Two things when you're, like you said, just try to kill one bigger than what you've killed before. Number
yeah.
one is, once you get to a certain point, you're going to be killing an older age class of deer more times than not.
Yeah.
Because those 3.5-year-old deer that are 140 plus are few and far between.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're shooting 140-inch deer, it's probably at least 4.5
right.
around here, you know.
Right, exactly, yeah.
And not only that, but it keeps it fun because you're not like, man, I can't kill nothing. I'm just going out here and sitting and watching all these deer walk by and
yeah.
I'm never seeing this 200-inch deer, you know.
Right. And like I told him, you know, I had suspected he had shot it, you know, and couldn't find it. But I didn't know. And I ended up finding it and sending him a picture. And
mm-hmm.
he's like, oh, yeah, man, that's the deer I shot.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, there's nothing wrong with that. He's like, I thought he was going to be kind of upset. And I was like, no, I told you, you know. I was like, this is a 150-some-inch deer.
Oh, yeah, he's and, really solid deer.
And I said, he's a 4.5-year-old deer, and I said, we wasn't going to shoot him, but I said, if he went by one of the kids, they would have shot him.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because,
right.
I mean, he was kind of a tight-rack deer with, I mean, real good mass and stuff on him.
Mm-hmm.
He probably wouldn't have booned unless he had got a lot of junk,
right.
you know.
Right.
But, I mean, he already, I mean.
He's probably one of those at least 90% 4-year-olds.
Oh, yeah, he was. Know? He was. He didn't make a good jump from 3 to 4, really.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't think, I mean, it's a younger guy that shot him. He went from a 138-inch 8-pointer to
yeah.
like a mid-150s 15-pointer.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
right.
you know, I mean, I was happy for him.
Exactly.
You know? And here he
yeah.
thought I was going to be upset.
right.
And I'd already told him, you know, if you get a chance to shoot him a bigger deer, shoot it.
Right.
Know?
Right.
You know.
That's how you got to do it, I think.
I mean, we got a highway, we got roads, we've got everything. I mean,
yep.
you know, I'd rather someone take that deer than
right.
know, something else happen.
Get hit by
you
a car.
Know? Yeah.
And that's what we were talking about, too, a couple of days ago, was it's so, with everything out there that's either trying to or can kill them,
yeah.
how some of them even make it to 5+.
Oh, I know.
You and know?
It's rare that we see very many,
mm-hmm.
you know. I mean, it's if we have ten bucks coming up in a year, you know, that we think that are going to be pretty good potential deer, we're lucky to get two make it.
Yeah,
you know, and
yep.
that's just the way it goes.
Yep, and you got, I mean, their dispersal
yes.
too. They're going to go different
yep.
places when you
yep.
get a certain when they get to a certain age class because they don't like hanging out with each other anymore.
Yep,
they get hit by cars. They
yep.
get. But, you know, coyotes, bobcats, disease,
yeah.
combination, the weather, you know, everything goes into that.
And they do move. I mean, we had a big 10 on the Wayne County farm, and he disappeared 1 year, and then clear down in Hamilton County, we started getting pictures of him. I mean, it's weird how he goes from one farm to the other, you know, but they're trying to seek the best they can, you know. And
especially now.
Yeah. You know. Yeah. You know, I mean, there's not much food between there and there, you know.
Right.
I mean, there's just a lot of people think, well, there's 200 acres of corn out there. Well,
not right now. Not,
there's not much left, you know.
Right. So,
especially now when they need it, you know. So.
Yeah, you're right. It's in a lot of bottom ground.
Yeah.
And they, even that, like the cover is few and far between in pockets too. And once you, when you get a deer on a river, fence lines, creeks and creek systems and stuff, like they can be 3 miles away in no time, you know, especially if they're looking for food. Yeah. That's what I think. The one I sent you today that I didn't know about, the big bodied deer, that was the 17th, I think, was the date on it. I hadn't seen him all year. That was the only picture I had of him. Of course, I took the camera down shortly after that. But either way, I think he's probably just traveling through there, trying to, coming from wherever he was staying in the fall, going to wherever he's going to find food. He'll probably stop there.
Right. You know, what was crazy about that deer is his body right now, the size of right now.
Oh, yeah. He looked like a cow.
So it just makes me wonder what he may put into his rack.
Cause exactly.
Man, he's got the body still.
He ain't. Yeah, he ain't going to have to put a lot into his body weight. It doesn't look like because he's a big-bodied deer.
He's big.
He's the second picture where he kind of starts to turn. He's got a decent rack.
Yeah.
He's got some decent height and decent mass. He's one of those deer probably like when you're talking about being shot, he's probably not really going to blow up into something, but just a really solid buck.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I was sitting
unless, like you're talking about, unless all that does go into his rack, you know.
Right, yeah. I mean, it can happen. What we've seen a lot of times is, so one year we had this ugly, ugly little 8-pointer. Just tight and just, he was ugly. You know? And I mean, you'd think, oh gosh, this person might want to shoot.
Put him out of his misery.
Yeah, you know. Well, that deer was killed. I think he was 2 when we was like, well, he's just ugly. And I think he was, I'm about positive he was 5 when he was killed. He was 5 or 6 when he was killed. And that deer ended up going 176 with all of his junk and stuff.
Crazy.
And that just shows you, you know, especially the 2-year-old deer and stuff, what they can, what they can do, you know. Even our 8s and stuff, I've seen them, you know, they may have that 140-inch frame, but when they throw 20, 25 inches of junk on
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean,
you're
getting a better quality deer, you know, as far
yeah.
as if you score and
as far as scoring
character
goes.
And stuff like that, you know.
And that's one of those, there's, again, so many variables, but, like, even the weather, like, we've had 2 really poor late summer and falls in a row, which is going to affect these deer that were 2 years old 2 years ago. They're probably not, at 4 now, they're probably not what they could have been had we had good, you know, rain there during the summertime and in the fall. Like, we could have had better nutrition for them, and they might have been bigger deer now.
Yeah. So, talking about that, too, a lot of the, not a lot, but probably half of the, my deer that I thought were 4 this year, they were some of the most run-down deer this year that I've seen.
Yeah.
And I know that they're going to have to put a lot into that body. And, and this makes me wonder what type of jump will they have.
Yep.
I'm hoping for that real wet spring to get that big jump, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah. But all that stuff compounds, too, because like you're saying, if they have one bad year of weather, then they're not as healthy going into the winter. Then they're not as healthy coming out of the winter. So then when they're starting to grow their antlers, they're still trying to have to put body weight back on. So not as much as going to their antlers. So then they're already behind for the next year. And then if you have another bad year, it just compounds and goes on. And then next thing you know, they're 6 years old and they're pretty much what they're going to be.
Yeah.
You know? And there's probably some deer, and you've got sheds to prove it. And, you know, you hear guys talk about it, that there are deer that make jumps from 6 to 7 or 5 to 6.
You know, I mean, I'd call it rare occasions.
Right.
You know, I think most of the time at 6.5, you know, the majority is going to be everything that he's going to be as far as even junk. And and I just really think that's their prime year.
Yeah.
4.5, they definitely got their frame.
Yeah.
You know, but if they're going to junk up, they'll usually junk up a little bit later.
After 4.
Know? Yeah. Usually. I mean, sometimes, you know, you can get some 3-year-olds that's starting to show junk and stuff already, you know. But the majority of the time, it seems like that 5 and 6 year, that's when they're starting to get them kickers on the bases and mm-hmm. maybe some kickers off their G2s and stuff, mm-hmm. you know.
That's that deer over at the cabin, the shed buck, I had a picture of him at 2.5, and he had split brows, and he had the goofy inside point on the one side. So he did have some junk, but then it wasn't until last year at 4.5 he put on one flyer on a 2, and then this year at 5.5 he had matching flyers and another extra point. So just like you're saying, he had some junk when he was younger, but he still even added more at 5.5 than he had at 4 and 2. I don't know what he did at 3 because he wasn't around. But
Right. Yep. And that's like, you're talking about sheds and stuff like
that. I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at Geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Cat. So the deer on Dad's, his 200, at 3.5, he would have probably maybe almost booned.
Mm-hmm.
And he might have booned at right. 3.5. So, you know, you get a 3.5 deer, you're that big. I mean, most of the time, if everything goes right, he's going to get up there high. You
right,
know?
Right. Even at, like you said, even a few years ago, he was considerably bigger than he was now. So, like, that deer at 4 years old is probably pushing 200.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And then 5 and 6, obviously.
Yeah.
Which, it makes him hard to pass at 3 and 4.
It does.
But if that's what your goal is, you got to do it.
Oh, man. I passed an absolutely stud this year during gun season.
Yeah, that deer's a giant.
I messaged George, and I was like, I just passed up a huge three-year-old. And I said, he is huge.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him, I was like, man, he's got a fork on his left side, you know. And then he's like, well, is it the deer that's been up here? And I was like, it may be. And then I looked at the pictures. Well, that deer's forked on the right side, and we thought he was a four-year-old.
Yeah.
And we really think he is a four-year-old, and this deer, we're pretty sure, is just a three-year-old, and he's bigger than a four-year-old.
Yeah.
And, you know, he stepped out about 70 yards of a thicket, and it's just a good thing that he was walking toward me.
Yeah.
Because at 70 yards, I was engaged.
Right.
You know?
Oh, yeah. When they step out, they're that big.
He was getting ready. If he was going to come on and pretty much just walk broadside, you know, I'd already made up my mind I was going to shoot him because, I mean, he's just big off his head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mainframe 6x7, I think, is what he was. And I thought, well, heck, he's coming at you. Just let him come on up here and
right. get closer.
Sure thing, you know.
Exactly.
Now, you know, when I was 12, 13, 14 years old, I'd have been shooting at him.
Yeah, at 70. Yeah. I'd have been shooting at him 70 and then about 95 and about 120, whenever I could get the next one racked in.
Exactly, yeah. So he started walking up through there, and I'm looking at him, you know, through the binoculars, and I'm like, man, he really hasn't got a lot of mass, and his neck's really not swollen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh man, that deer's young, you know.
Yeah, right.
I watched him walk on by, and I told George, I said, I think I really screwed up. Well, the other day I got a picture of him, and he shed one side, and George's like, did you screw up now? And I was like, I'll tell you next year if I kill him. You
know? Exactly. Yep. Yep.
I mean, he's at least high 160s already, mm-hmm. you know, so,
mm-hmm.
which if he everything, he makes it till next year, I mean.
Yep. That kind of leads into your season, because, you know, if your goal is to shoot them at their highest scoring years or whatever, you got to pass them there and then go shoot the 5.5-plus-year-old deer,
right.
even if they're not as high scoring, which is what you ended up killing two really nice
right.
mature deer this year.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, like I said earlier, you know, once you kill some big deer and stuff like that, I mean, I've been fortunate to kill several really, really nice deer.
Mm-hmm.
And anymore, if I get and it's a lot to do with the hunt with me too. If, you know, if I got a buck that's patterned, you know, and I'm like, man, that dude, like this buck here, that I, the last one I killed, a 9.5-year-old buck. You know, I went in there thinking I had a pretty good chance at him. And, yeah, by far, he's not near the highest scoring deer I've ever killed, right. You know. But I was really happy with that deer this year.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just, and like you said, once you kill some bigger deer, it's to me, I mean, I'll hunt for a bigger deer for a while, you know. But like I always say, I usually kill a really nice deer hunting a big deer.
Right.
Because...
Which is a pretty good consolation.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and I've hunted a big deer. I hunted a big 12-pointer in Jefferson County one year that I thought was going to push that Pope and Young record. I mean, I really thought he was probably 205 to 210.
Yeah.
And he was clean. And I hunted that deer so hard, and it almost made me to where I didn't want to hunt anymore.
Yep.
Because I let some big, big deer walk that year and got close to him twice, but never did get a shot at him.
Right.
But he was a giant deer. And after that year there, I never seen him again. So I don't know what happened to him.
Yeah. Yep. And you could have shot those other deer.
Yeah, exactly. And and I was carrying a camera with me, too, and there was one day that I was hunting, and I had a buck come up through there, and I was like, man, that's a really nice deer. And my bow was on the hanger. That's back when I could still use a bow.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was walking up through there, and he was coming out of a thicket, and I had the camera on him. When he steps out in the open, you can hear me go, oh, crap. And then the camera goes down because he probably had 10, 12-inch brows on him. Yeah, I was like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And that right there.
Should be holding my bow instead of the camera.
What am I doing out here, you know?
And yep.
So, yeah, that's kind of this. That deer there put the end of going and just trying to kill the biggest deer.
Yeah.
It just wasn't fun, you know?
Yep. If you guys are looking for your own piece of ground to manage and hunt, Rodney Hawkins is a guy you need to talk to. He grew up hunting and fishing in Southern Illinois, and he's now putting that love for the outdoors into selling recreational properties as a land specialist with Midwest Farm and Land. Midwest Farm and Land isn't your average real estate company. They do residential properties, but they also do a ton of recreational property sales as well. Rodney himself sold over $7 million worth of properties last year alone. They've got agents like him all over Illinois, so they're really a local company with a national reach. For more info on them, what might be available, or even getting your property listed if you're looking to get rid of one and maybe get into something else, you can contact Rodney directly at 618-925-3153, and he'll get you taken care of. He's also got his own company called RG Outdoors that currently has products from Radix Hunting, Tacticam Trail Cameras, Camo Dust, and he's adding new stuff all the time. So if you're interested in any of that, go over to their Facebook page, RG Outdoors. Email them at rgoutdoors@yahoo.com. Or again, just call Rodney directly at 618-925-3153. That's one thing that I think is kind of placed to my benefit there, not only up north of town. It's a bigger farm, but the way it lays out, it doesn't hunt big.
Mm-hmm.
And there's neighbors everywhere, right? And then just over on the 10 acres, like I'm happy. If it's 4.5-year-old solid buck, you know, like 140s plus, I'm going to be tickled to death with that on either of those farms.
Yeah.
Because the size of them, the way they hunt, you know what I
mean?
So, like, sure, I'm going over there to the cabin hunting that, you know, Booner potential. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think he probably would have gone 70s this year. I'm hunting him, but if the 145-inch, you know, 4.5-year-old 10-point steps out, I'll probably shoot him too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I mean, you got to hunt where your neighbors hunt.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I've got down farther in Hamilton County, I got a 100-acre piece down in there, and it was a gold mine.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, nothing against the outfitting or anything like that. They run their business and stuff like that. Their deer, mature-wise, is 4.5.
Yeah.
Some of their guys make mistakes and shoot really good 3-year-olds,
right.
You know. But this year, I mean, they just hammered them, and it made me sick. And I was like, you know, I wasn't mad or anything like that.
Right.
Because you're talking like a lot of southern guys coming up, and they're killing 4-year-old deer that are, most of them were 140s to 160.
Right.
So, I mean.
Yeah. But you're still kind of thinking like, man, what could have been next year?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
You're always going to have that in the back of your mind.
It was, you know, and most of them were 10s and and some. I think they killed a couple of 12s and stuff. But and they did kill some mature deer too.
Right.
But boy, next year, I don't know. I'm curious to see what happens because the amount of deer that they killed there,
Right.
I'm kind of curious to see what moves in now.
Mm-hmm. Definitely happens too.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You know, are we going to get some bigger, older deer move in since a lot of these 4-year-olds are gone?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it may turn into something next year that's maybe it's better. Maybe I'll have some higher, older deer in there, you know. So.
Nate's two biggest deer, the 6x5 he killed this year, and then the funky 8 that he killed 2 years ago. We kind of think that part of that is why he killed those two deer. The funky 8 especially, there was a great big, 250-plus pound, just 8-point, you know, mm-hmm. the big bully buck hanging around in there. Well, they ended up finding him dead, and it wasn't too long after that funky 8 was a lot more active. He was a lot more killable, and that's when they ended up killing him. Same way with this 6x5. He would get pictures of him, you know, occasionally, and he was huntable. But the neighbors killed another big-bodied, I think it might have been a 10, you know, 140s, mm-hmm. like solid deer, but not a giant, but just a bully.
Yeah.
And then that 6x5 was just all over the place. And that deer was no slouch. Like, I'm sure he was a bully too, but even still in that case, that deer became the dominant buck.
Yes. Yeah.
And then he was all over the place in daylight, and then he ended up killing him with the gun. So that definitely happens.
Oh, it does. Yeah. That's, you know, one thing that happens to us some is we'll get too many 6, 7, 8-year-old deer on us.
Mm-hmm.
And you see that 5-year-old killed half mile away that's in the 180s, you know, and our big older deer that are in the 130s or so, they just push them out. I mean, those bucks, you know, those, they're not going to want to come in there and get beat up all the time, you know.
Uh-uh.
I mean, so that's one thing that I've got to work on this year. So you're going to come down and help me do that a little
bit. Yep, absolutely.
So I think we got 7 or 8 bucks in there this year that really need to go next year.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully we can work on that a little bit.
Yeah. And there was a handful of them that even the last few days I hunted this year that got a lot of video of them, and you ended up having a bunch of pictures of them when you pulled those cameras that, like you're talking about, those older age class deer that aren't necessarily high scoring, but if you take them out, they make room for other deer to move in, you know, and they're, you know, like you're talking about, absolutely trophy deer.
Oh, yeah.
You know, mature.
Yeah.
Maturity-wise, so, which is kind of where I'm at, too. Like, I would rather shoot the 140-inch, 5-plus-year-old deer than the 150, 160-inch, 3-year-old.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's just, there is more of a challenge to it, I think, you know? And that's not to say anything, again, bad about anybody that's shooting the 3-year-old. Just me, personally, that's That's why I do it,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, there is a little more, you know. I mean, that 3-year-old, he's going to be lucky to make it through the year just because he moves so much. But, you know, late season, if you can get on them older deer, you can kill them.
Yep. They get real patternable again.
They do. You know, and they're, I'm sure you've seen setting over some of them beans and stuff that, I mean, they'll come out pretty early.
So, oh, yeah. You know. Yep. And it was, you know, got a handful of them were the same deer every time I was out there. You know, I saw that 6-pointer showed up, or that 7 showed up maybe the second night I hunted, but then he was back. Mm-hmm. You know, he'd moved in probably and then was back. But like if I saw this deer the first night, I saw him again the second night. If I saw a new one the second night, I saw him again the third night. It was just, they kind of kept adding. And if I saw him a time before, I was pretty much guaranteed to see him again, just like you're talking about. They found the food. They're going to get out there pretty early. That 3-year-old 8 that you had, that day you'd sent me a picture of him and said, hey, if you see this deer, you know, he might be one to go.
Right.
And then he stepped out and he ended up being younger than what he looked like in the picture.
Yeah.
But he was out there at 2:30.
Yeah.
Maybe 2:00, 2:15, something like that.
Yeah, that's crazy on how early some of them come out, you know. I mean,
it was interesting to me too, to on the new deer, because, you know, the ones that live there all the time, you know, they're used to the trains coming through and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Well, when I was out there a couple times when the trains would come through, some of the deer would, like, lose their mind. Because it's echoing off the trees. They don't know which direction it's coming from, and they're freaking out. And then it comes by, and they take off running.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, these have to be new deer that moved in. You know, they're just not used to it.
Yeah.
And then, it was interesting to watch.
And there'll be some that won't even really pay attention at
all. Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, they won't even hardly look or anything. Yeah. Yeah, you can tell the new deer. Sometimes when you're sitting in that shooting house, too, want to walk out and he'll be like bird dogging you.
You know? Yep. There were a couple of those.
What's that?
Exactly. But it was, you could tell the ones that were like residents, too, because as the train was coming, they were like, whatever, not paying attention, right? While the other ones are freaking out. Mm-hmm. Well, then it wasn't until the other ones took off running that the ones that I figured were probably residents were like, okay, this is weird. I'm taking off too. But it was because the other ones were running, not because of the train. Right.
So, right.
But that's also, I thought, just another more proof that if you have the food in the late season, you're going to pull in a lot of deer because there were so many deer that poured into that field because, like you said, there's just not a ton of food around this time of year, even late season.
I'd like to get at least from like mid, I mean, like at least like mid December, cold weather all the way to the end.
Yeah.
And just see what does show up and hope I had a tag at that time.
Exactly. You know? Yeah.
Cause,
if we had a real cold winter, like it got cold there at the end, that's what I think had a lot of those deer out there.
Yeah, there's a lot of deer.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
A lot of other newer bucks that came in too.
Yeah. And it wouldn't even have to be that cold. But we're just talking like, you know, if we get highs in the 20s.
Yeah.
From mid-December on, like you're talking about.
Yeah. And they've got to go to the food.
Yep.
I mean, and I think those deer that showed up this year, if they've never been there, they'll be back next year.
Yeah.
You know, if they make it, you know, they're not going to forget about it.
Exactly. And even if it might be earlier even. If not, they're probably definitely going to be back late season.
Yeah.
But they might even come back earlier.
Yeah.
And I think bucks especially will find the food in the winter, and then there's a lot of does there, and then they'll come through that in the rut, and that'll be part of their, maybe that's where they make their excursion.
Yeah.
You know, like I think their research says that most of them will make at least one excursion on average of like 2 miles every year during the rut.
Yep.
I think a lot of times they go back to their summer ranges and check that, or they're not staying in the fall, but they were there in the summer with the does.
Right.
But that's another instance where, like, if they go in there in the late winter, if they're cruising looking for food in January and they find a spot and there's all these deer around, why wouldn't they come back and check it in the rut?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, I had a couple pictures of bucks that I didn't even know was there this year until I've got more cameras to pull, but I've been pulling some of my just regular cameras, and I had a picture of one there at the house that I was like, oh my gosh, he was there for one complete day in daylight all day. And I mean, he was a stud. I mean, a really, really big deer. And if I'd known he was there, oh, he was so killable.
Yeah.
I mean, just so killable he was. I mean, because he was coming through the same area at least four times that day. He came through there, and it was so easy to access.
Yeah, and he could have just slipped in on him.
Gosh.
Yep. That's the cell cameras have made a huge difference for me on that 10-acre piece, because that's what they'll do there a lot of times. Now the last couple of years, since I've had a little bit of food on there, I'll get deer that they're still not staying there, but they're making it more of a frequency. I mean, they're more frequently using it as part of their home range, I think. But a lot of times I'll have a buck move in for a week, 10 days, and then he's gone. And then that's the window. So if I can get a cell camera picture of him at 8 that morning, or even I've had multiple occasions where I'll get one at midnight, and then the next morning at 7:30, 8 o'clock, he's back through there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Why I haven't killed him doing that, don't ask me.
Yep.
Because they've done it 3 or 4 times and I just haven't been there.
Yep.
But
the deer I hunted for 2 years called King, the cell cam got him killed this year. I mean, when he was there, you had to hunt him, because I mean, that thing was like a ghost to me. He was just, and when you got a picture of him, you would look at the what the wind was and stuff like that, and you're like, man, I couldn't have hunted it.
Can't do anything you with know, it, yeah. Because
the setup I got, yeah, I'm in a funnel and everything like that, but if I've got does and stuff that come first, if I hunt him on an iffy wind, and the does, there's several there, and they're always coming out early usually,
mm-hmm.
and I'll get busted, yep. you know. I mean, no matter what I do or anything like that, you're not going to beat their nose.
Nope.
You
nope.
know, and he was there 2 days in a row, and my uncle, he got like a pretty decent wind on him,
mm-hmm.
and he's like, well, I'm going to try him. So he tried him one day, didn't have no luck. Mm-hmm. He passed up a super nice buck that had a broken G2 that was actually, he was a stud. And the second or third time he went in and hunted him, that buck was the first buck that came by at 4 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. And this is middle of January?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, I think, some reason.
Or middle of the first week or something like that.
Yeah. I think he killed him like on the 7th or something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
But yeah. And then what was crazy about this is this deer, he's coming down through there, and George, he was like, I'm pretty sure that's that deer, you know? And he was kind of moving through an area, he could catch glimpses of him, but I mean, his rack was big enough, and mm-hmm. he's like, man, he's a shooter no matter what, you
right.
know, just big old deer. He grunted at that deer, and he just turned and came, walked right to him.
Mm-hmm.
January 6th or 7th, or whatever, yeah. shot him, you know,
yep.
I'm like, come on.
Right. That, I really contemplated grunting at that 7 the second time he came out, because the first time, I told you this, I don't know if I said it on here, I probably did, but he came out later, and then he was the last deer in the field. Well, there were still deer dinging around in the field behind me,
mm-hmm.
and I think either he caught a glimpse of them or heard something that he thought was another buck, just because the way he came, it looked, it was like you'd grunted at him, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like he just, ears perked up, and then on a line
yeah.
to about 50 yards,
mm-hmm.
and I wonder if I wouldn't have grunted at him the second time if he might not have done the same thing if he heard it, but
yeah,
it was early, so I didn't. If you guys plant food plots and you don't know who Grandpa Ray Outdoors is, you need to look him up. They specialize in providing the best nutrition for white-tailed deer on your property, starting with the soil. They've got a full line of high-quality food plot seed and plant foods with over 14 different food plot blends to choose from. You won't have any trouble finding what you're looking for. They've got fall and spring blends, corn and beans, switchgrass, liquid fertilizer, soil test kits, you name it. When it comes to planting, they've got it. They're not just about selling their products, though. They were started in 2015. John, the owner, has been in the business since 1991. So with that knowledge that he's acquired, he's going to be able to answer any questions you have about what blends would be best for your specific property. That way you can achieve the best results possible. Like us, John and his team don't believe in a cookie-cutter approach to wildlife nutrition. They're going to treat you and your situation individually. We've used tons of their seed on client properties, on our own properties, and the results have always been as good, if not better, than advertised. That's why we partnered with them in the first place. If you want to, go to GrandpaRayOutdoors.com, use the discount code RHOPODCAST, that's all lowercase, no space, and you get 5% off your entire order there. You guys need to go check them out if you care about getting the most bang for your buck when it comes to your food plots.
I was thinking, too, that it could have really helped you or it could have hurt you. I mean,
right.
as a decoy, you know, even, yeah. you know.
I had that thought, too.
You know, I mean, I could have ran a decoy out there.
I mean, it's like, that's one of those rolling the dice, though, because if they're deer that come out early and they're, you know, kind of like sketchy about it,
yeah.
then it might hurt you. But
yeah.
if he's the, like there, he was out by himself. He wasn't the first deer, but he was one of the first deer. Mm-hmm. And if he'd have popped his head over the hill and saw it, maybe,
yeah.
you know.
And I don't have a lot of deer that I've ever really had said that spooked off that DS decoy, mm-hmm. you know. They look so real, you
yeah.
know.
Yeah, right.
I mean, you can take a picture of it and send it to somebody, and they'd be like, why aren't you shooting?
Well, yeah.
He's a decoy. You know?
Right. It's plastic.
Yeah.
Been rolling around my broadhead on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt. I got one that I'm going to have to try this year. When we went to the ATA, we met the guy from Flambeau, their mm-hmm. marketing manager, and he sent us home with one. So it's they just came out with it this year, and I thought it was funny, their reasoning. Being a Midwestern hunting guy,
mm-hmm.
it was kind of funny, but I get it for some of the places they're talking about, especially down south. He said the bigger Flambeau buck that's more like the one you've got,
mm-hmm.
bigger bodied, a little bigger rack.
They call him the hoss.
Maybe
I think.
Maybe. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He said that one was scaring some of the bucks that these guys were trying to shoot. Yeah. He said they would pop out and see him, and they would just like lock up and turn and go the other way because he was like too dominant.
Right.
And yeah. I'm like, this is like 120 inch, you know, deer. But yeah. up here, that wouldn't happen.
Right.
But a lot of places, I get it. So yeah. they came out with this one that is the same size as their does. Mm-hmm. And then they had the doe decoy. And actually, I went ahead and I took the doe decoy because I figured if they had somebody else that wanted them, they'd take the buck. But like he said the littler buck is the same size as the doe. They're built off the same. They just put antlers on it. So mm-hmm. he's like, you could throw antlers on this thing, and it's the same deal. So yeah. I'm going to mess around with that some. I'll use it as a doe this year, and then mm-hmm. if I want to, I'll put some antlers on it. So I'm kind of curious to see because yeah. that's fun.
Oh, it is. I've killed some really good deer off of decoys, and it's fun. Sometimes, you know, Dad's got a decoy, George got some decoys. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'll pile all three of them up and take them in, you know.
Right.
You wouldn't believe how sometimes it works.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they could be, and most of the time I'm sitting over like an 80 acre cut cornfield,
mm-hmm.
and it's usually later in the year, and them bucks come out and they'll see them and they'll just automatically just start walking to them.
Yep.
You know.
I think that's the scenarios where they're so useful is like if you got, especially like up there north on the north farm that I got. Like this year, especially where there's no cut corn where they're going to be feeding through it and coming to me. If they got no other reason to come down where you're at, but you can't get to where they're coming out at because of the wind or access or whatever, it's a reason for them to come to you.
Right.
You know?
Right.
They get out there and they see that, and it's just like they got to go check it out.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. As much credit as we give them for being smart sometimes, they're still pretty dumb animals when it comes to certain things.
There's
you know?
Sometimes that it's a click, and, you know, I think you could just almost jump up and down when they're locked in, mm-hmm. and they're just so locked in, you know.
Especially that last, like, probably 30 yards if they start sidestepping and stuff. Yeah. Like you said, you jump up and down, scream at them. Like,
yeah,
they're
you
just,
can.
No, they're ready to fight.
I killed a really good 11-pointer one year, and at the time, it was the biggest deer I ever killed. And he came down through there and was watching my decoy, and I thought, any time, he's going to posture. Well, he came on into the fence row, and I was like, oh, man, he didn't do what I thought he was going to do. You mm-hmm. know, all I did was give a little grunt to him, and next thing I know, he's coming out of the fence row with his ears pinned back, and I mean, he came 15 yards back. You
mm-hmm.
know? I mean, just one little thing just turned him. You
yep.
know, he was just waiting for that guy to say something to him. You know?
Yep. Do it. Just say
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it just totally flipped a switch on him. You know,
yep.
he was coming over to kick his butt. You
yeah.
know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So let's get into your season a little bit this year. That the first deer you killed was that one. He was kind of a flyer buck, but also it kind of was just his G2 that had laid back,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he was a, I guess you call it a velvet damage.
Yeah,
know?
That's what and, it looked like for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah, he was pretty nice deer.
Mm-hmm.
He,
and the only, let me think about this, the only bow kill buck that we actually got on video.
Barely.
It was barely.
Barely.
But he was on camera. He yeah. was in frame.
Yeah, yeah.
And in focus.
Yeah. Well, I was watching him, and he was kind of in some thick stuff, and then I was like, I'm gonna shoot that deer, you mm-hmm. know. So I'm getting everything ready, and I looked at the camera, and I was like, yep, that's where I'm going to try to shoot him at, because he was pretty much coming a straight line.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought where I stopped him at, he was almost in the middle, because I really wasn't paying attention
right.
to the camera.
Once time. You said it, yeah. it stopped. You're like, okay, it's going to be good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I shot, and then I ended up getting it on him, and mm-hmm. went up to the ridge. And, of course, he almost made it to the top, and then he decided to fall down that big ridge. All the way to the bottom.
Of course he did.
Yeah.
Well, so, he's such a small deer.
Yeah. 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 It was, yeah, me and the guy that I hunt on there, we was like, oh, my gosh, we're about to have a heart attack getting uh-huh. him out of here.
Yep. They so, never make it any easier.
No.
Rarely.
But, yeah, that deer there, that was a pretty good hunt.
Mm-hmm.
The last deer, which my two favorite hunts this year were both my kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Dawson's deer, It, yeah, I mean, honestly, it couldn't have went any better.
Oh, yeah, that's perfect.
Everything went great.
Yep. Opening Dawson, day of your season,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah. And Dawson put a good shot on him. Mm-hmm. That's one thing I do with the kids. We shoot a bunch. And most of the time when they pull the trigger, I'm pretty sure it's a dead deer.
You can be confident. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and
they both hammered both of them.
Oh, yeah. 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 That big deer Kelpie shot a few years ago, you know, the first time she shot at it, I mean, it was 150 yards.
Was it?
Yeah. And anyways, she actually missed him then because it was all big, like, crazy deer.
Uh-huh.
You know, he come running into the does, you know, out there, and not that they were, it was rut or anything. He was just like, hey, there they all are. I'm going to come out there,
right,
and run into
exactly
them, you know. And we thinking it was what we called the big eight, you know, and mm-hmm. I wasn't looking at the rack anymore. I was with the rangefinder ranging him, and I told Kelby, I was like, second dot, you know. She shoots, and he runs out there and stands, and I was like, second dot. She shot, and then yeah. I could tell she hit him hard.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he runs out there to like a little over 200, and I'm like, man, I wonder if she can hit him again. I was like, third dot. Boom, knocked him down out there, you know.
Like,
yeah. Holy cow. You know?
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, and then it was something when we found a deer because it was not the deer I thought it was,
right,
you know.
Yeah, that was a giant.
Oh, yeah. You know, the deer put on at least 25 inches, you know.
Right.
So, yeah, yep. it was a giant deer, just mm-hmm. really a giant deer. So, yeah, Dawson's hunt went great. That was the second buck he's ever killed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's hooked. I really do.
Yeah.
He's talking more and more and more into hunting.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know, mm-hmm. he loves squirrel hunting right now for some reason.
Yeah.
He really likes doing that and stuff. Yep. So anything to get him out there. He calls a little bit with me. We got into doing some coon hunting this year.
Yeah.
that was a blast with the boys.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, that little stuff like that always helps for the deer hunting and stuff.
Oh, yeah. You know,
the deer hunting's kind of a bonus.
Yep.
But just taking, I get more of a kick out of taking them than I do hunting.
Oh, yeah. You know? I'm sure.
Kelby's deer, you know, I didn't even see it when it come in.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just like, big buck, you know. And I'm like, oh, I can't even see this thing. She's like, he's looking right at me. I'm like, oh, great.
You know? Yeah, right.
So I'm trying to get the camera ready and everything. And he comes out where I can actually see him a little bit, but I cannot get the camera where it's comfortable to mm-hmm. actually get it on where I thought I'd have it on film. Great. So I'm snuggled up there. Closer to the, not the end of the barrel, but closer to the barrel than I wanted to be. You know?
Oh, yeah.
And
yep.
I'm holding the camera out, hoping everything's on there, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I could tell he's bird dogged us. Cause
oh, yeah.
She's moving, trying to get to shoot him and everything. So I was just like, well, we're here to kill a deer.
You're right. You know? Kill him.
Yeah, yeah. And she shoots and the honeysuckle blows off the blind.
It was awesome.
I tried to jump up to get the, and I'm like, gosh dang, he's gone already.
Oh, yeah.
You know? I mean, he was out of there quick.
He was.
And
which you could see that on the video. Like, you could see that he was locked onto that blind.
Oh, yeah.
And then he was just gone.
Oh, yeah.
As soon as it hit him.
Yeah.
He was out.
And we go to track the deer, and I'm like, man, we can't find no blood anywhere, you know, And I'm colorblind, so I'm just kind of like the guy that walks around with a flashlight. You know?
Yeah, right.
Every once in a while, I'm like, hey, I found blood, you know.
When it's about the size of a plate.
It's got to be shining and everything, uh-huh. you know. And it's funny because Dad and any of them, I go with all of them all the time, track deer.
Mm-hmm.
I think they use me to drag them, but anyways.
Yeah, probably.
But when he was, Dad and them, they've got to where, like, they'll find blood and they'll actually point their finger all the way down to the blood And over the years, they've just, you know, hey, this is it, you know, and I can kind of get the shine on it and the color right. at the time, then I can kind of see it, you yeah. know, a little bit. But it's still tough. But anyway, she ended up picking up the blood trail and trailing that whole deer pretty much by herself.
Yeah.
And we got up there, and I'm sitting there thinking, oh, my gosh, how are we going to get this thing out of here, you mm-hmm. know? And it was awful. We only had to drag that thing like 60 yards, but it was terrible.
That was a big deer, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Which is another thing you could see on the camera, even though it wasn't like real zoomed in or anything. Like, you could still tell that he was a big, boxy bodied deer.
Yeah, he was. Short legs and everything, you know.
Yep.
And it seems like a lot of your older deer, they really get that big brown patch mm-hmm. on top of their head, you know.
Yep. It's crazy how much they're. The shape and the color of their head changes as they get older. Yeah. And I think that's the easiest way, because there's not a real easy way if you don't have history with them to tell 4.5, 5.5, 6.5. Mm-hmm. But I think the biggest difference between 4.5 and 5.5 a lot of times is their head.
It is.
Just the shape of it and, like you're saying, the color. And you just kind of, when you see enough of them, you just kind of can start to tell that, like, that's an older deer. Yeah.
So
you know?
One thing that I learned on telling deer that from 4 to 5 and stuff like that, a deer, and I never really knew this is what it was, but a deer, especially after 4, they swell around their eyes.
Yeah.
And they get a squinty eye.
Yeah.
So they're not wide-eyed looking and young looking.
Right.
They're more of a squinty-eyed deer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's usually, unless I know the deer for sure, you know, that's usually how I can say, man, he's at least 5.5, mm-hmm. you know. And you get the big chest that just flows into the,
right.
the body, you know, that's a giveaway too. You know?
Yeah. You get some 4-year-olds that'll start to get a little bit of sway in them, you know, or like the sagging gut. But a lot of times that's, you can tell that is an older deer too. But it's
right.
funny you said that about their eyes, because like if I get a deer in here that's one of those, like you can just tell he's 5+ yeah. when I'm doing the taxidermy. I'll try to make him just a little bit less wide-eyed, you know, because mm-hmm. like deer in general are pretty wide-eyed,
yeah.
kind of bug-eyed looking.
Oh yeah.
But I'll try to shrink those down just a little bit. It doesn't always work out like I want it to.
Right.
But yeah, I've noticed that.
They do. And I didn't know that they swell. I didn't know that they actually swell.
I couldn't have
their eyes.
Told you that why it was. Just
yeah.
you know, it does look different.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And I can't remember who I was listening to that started talking about that. And I was like, well, that makes a lot of sense, because the older deer that I see, usually they're kind of a tight eyed,
mm-hmm.
you know, a squinty eyed looking deer.
Yep.
But yeah, and back to Kelby's hunt real quick, you know, I mean, her emotions and stuff.
Oh,
is
what's
great. You
yep.
know, I've actually got a film of her shooting her very first deer with a bow. And it was unbelievable, mm-hmm. you know. I mean, it's her emotions and everything like that.
You see guys on TV that have been doing it a long time, whatever. Like, some of them, you can tell they're faking, like, the over-the-top excitement kind of thing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like, I have more appreciation for the guys that are, like, you can tell they're excited, but they're, like, overacting.
Yeah.
Like, if you look at Blake's buck when he killed High Rise this year,
yeah.
and Kelby's, like, yeah, you know, like, that's real. That's a real thing. And
yeah.
that's, people enjoy watching that. I enjoy watching that. Every time I watch either one of those, I smile the whole time,
yeah.
you know?
Oh, yeah.
It's fun to watch.
Yeah, it is.
It takes you back to when you,
exactly.
you know, when you were that way.
Exactly, yeah. And that's one thing that I wish that I could get back, you know,
mm-hmm.
is the excitement. You
right.
know? I mean, I can remember the first drop-tine deer I ever shot. And he came in and he turned, and I was like, oh, my gosh, he's got drop-tines. Well, then I about lost it just because he had a drop-tine,
right.
you know.
Right.
And I shot him, and everything just worked perfect, you know. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I got a real good double lung shot on him and everything. And twice, when I tried to get out of my stand, I had to go back up and thought I had my safety belt undone. I was
yeah.
so excited, you know,
because yeah.
I had to get down to go to the house to call Dad, because it was before we had cell
right,
phones.
Right, you didn't have a phone
know?
In your pocket. Yep.
And I remember calling Dad, and Dad's like, hey, man, you're going to have to settle down. You're going to have a heart attack.
Yeah, slow down.
I was like, he's the biggest deer
you don't
ever
understand.
He's like, every deer is the biggest deer you ever seen.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's, and I do, I get excited my own ways, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But,
yeah.
But, yeah, you know, I was pretty excited about shooting that last deer this year. You yeah. know? I mean, I liked him. I liked the way he's racked. Mm-hmm. Was and everything,
and you just, got to watch that deer for a little bit, oh, you know, yeah, like yeah, out there feeding in the, and you had beans, and did you have brassicas in those beans?
Just beans in that one.
Just beans in that yeah. one. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought there was some green stuff under it, but
there's whatever that broadleaf that comes up
and just the natural stuff. Yeah,
this yeah. natural stuff, you know.
Yeah.
I tried that one year. I tried one of our food plots, and I was reading about the protein and just the native weeds and stuff.
Oh yeah.
So I tried that one year on about an acre with the food plot that you set over.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, pretty much the west side of it, I just let it grow up into grass.
Mm-hmm.
And when especially early, you wouldn't believe most of the deer was eaten in that, the natural forage yep. there, you know.
Yep.
And I was like, that's pretty interesting, because I'd read a little bit about natural forage on how a lot of the stuff has a lot of higher proteins than what they can get that year, mm-hmm. you know, at that time.
Yep.
And it seemed to work pretty good, but once that time where everything goes to seed, it's done.
Yeah. You know? As you get later into the year, that's when the stuff that we're planting comes into play.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And there's, I think they say, independent on your soil conditions and the rainfall and all that, you can get anywhere from like, what was it, 4,000 to, I forget how many tons of forage you could get per acre offhand. But it's a considerable amount. Like, it's comparable to a decent food plot mm-hmm. you can get from natural browse if you, you know, if you do it right and you have a good year.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, that's stuff they know, yeah. too. So, like, they're going to go to that first.
Yeah.
Especially early season through even parts of November a lot of times, yeah. you know.
So, the other night when we went coyote calling, we went up to the one farm where Dad killed the 200.
Mm-hmm.
And when we walked out and I showed you that one food plot, mm-hmm. I was like, holy cow. Just the week before, it was still standing.
Yeah.
And there's been that many deer that has moved in there.
It was almost to nothing when we were there.
It was like a hog lot. Yeah. You know, and
they were pulling up the roots and eating turnips and stuff.
It was the week before I told Dad, I was like, man, it was a turnip up there, like size of a volleyball, you know? Mm-hmm. And Dad's like, oh, yeah, there's some big turnips out there. And I was going to actually show you that turnip that night because I don't know if Dad pulled it or what, but it was just laying there.
Mm-hmm.
But when we came out, I was like, there's just mud here.
Exactly. It did.
You know? And
yep.
I was like, holy cow, man. Dad said, in the last week, he said, they've just been a big herd move in.
Yeah. The off season is upon us, and we all know that the path to success next season starts now. To consistently harvest mature bucks, you need to make the most of the upcoming months. And to do that, you need a solid plan. That's where we can help. If you guys want to improve your property to reach its full potential for wildlife, reach out to us about a consultation. We'll spend time getting to know your property and your goals for your deer herd and use that knowledge to develop a wildlife management plan that will help make the most out of the ground that you have. You can contact us through our website or social media to get started today. I talked about it a little bit, I think, last Friday. I'm going to start everything that I'm going to plant this year in clover
mm-hmm.
just in case we don't get the rain in the fall. But if it looks like we're going to get the rain in the fall, I'm still going to try to do the brassicas. And the reason I like them so much is because if we do get a harsh winter, they're going to hit those earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Even if we don't, it stays mild and the clover would stay green. This time of year, which I think gets overlooked a lot because you can't hunt it, but it's really important for the health of them, is like that plot you're talking about. They're going to hammer it if it's there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and that's the reason I like the brassica so much in at least part of my food plot program, you know.
Yeah, I think a mix of brassicas, So the first year I planted a turnip mix in that spot, the deer didn't hardly touch them.
Mm-hmm.
And the next year, they ate them a little bit more, and then now they devour them.
Yeah.
You know, and I've heard that over time with some people's like,
yeah.
When you first plant it, you're like, man, this ain't no good, you know. But if you plant it again and again, they'll just get to it.
They start to figure it out, yeah. And then, well, you think about it, if they don't figure it out the first year, maybe they start to the second year. Well, then those fawns figure it out, mm-hmm. and then a couple of generations down the line, it's just normal for them.
Yeah, and then one thing, and I've said this probably two or three times on the podcast is you plant your brassicas, but you throw kale in there in early season, they're going to go through there and they're going to eat every bit of that kale out of there before they touch anything else.
Yeah. Yep.
And I get it is a form of brassica, I think.
It is, yeah. You know, yep.
But boy, it seems like they hit it early, really, really good.
That's one thing we like about that inner sanctum that Grandpa Ray has is it's clover. It might have alfalfa in it, and then it's got kale. Mm-hmm. And the kale, even, like if you want to plant it in the fall, takes the browse pressure off, similar to like the chicory does in mm-hmm. our blend. Mm-hmm. Takes some of the browse pressure off, but like you said, they'd come out there and eat that stuff. And we got quite a bit of video of them out there just eating that kale, big old, like a vacuum, just sucking that big old leafy stuff down.
I was sitting there watching them one evening, and I'm like, this is like a biologic commercial, right?
It is.
You know, because they have the big old leaves sticking out of their mouths, you know, and stuff.
And then they just fold it down and eat it down. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, that's – I do like that about in that blend is the kale and the clover seems to pair really well together. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the kale seems to have some stand power through the frost even.
It does, yeah.
They'll still eat it, where if the clover goes dormant, you're still going to have something.
Yeah, if you can – if they don't eat it all, I mean, it works pretty good. This year was dry and a lot of plots, I don't think they made it over 6 inches tall.
Yeah, you know, mine didn't.
I mean, it was just, it was terrible. I mean, anything that was green, that had water, you know, boy, they were just.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I replanted three times on a couple of them, and it just got to where, like, man, I'm too late now, you know.
I did the same thing. And the little bit that did come up, they just obliterated it because it was all that was there at a certain point just because it was so dry. But, yeah, I mean, we just – even into October, November, we didn't have a lot of rain this year.
No.
All the way really even through December, we didn't have a bunch. We didn't have a first – I mean, we had a couple of days where it rained decent, but, like, what was it, early part of the year, or first part of the year, we had that week where it rained, like, finally caught us up a little bit.
Yeah.
The pond over there at the cabin – I mean, it is as low as I ever remember it.
Yeah.
We got all that rain. It brought it up a little bit. It's still low. Yeah. You know, I mean, we're still behind.
Yeah. Yeah, my pond's probably about 3 foot down probably still.
Yeah. Yeah. We sank some stovepipe in it for catfish to stay in. Because they claim that if you have channel cat, they won't spawn in stagnant water unless you give them somewhere to do it. And then a certain number of them will. So we sunk these stovepipes for that. Well, they were halfway out of the water this year.
Yeah.
And they were 3-4.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Put deep some of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, they will spawn in that. I've seen some ponds that's had some stuff in it, some structure that
that
they've raised in there, you know.
Right, right. That second deer you shot, he was, what do you figure, 8, 9.5?
He was 9.5-year-old buck. George had more history with him than I did.
Mm-hmm.
He started sending me pictures and stuff like that, and we got to figuring, you know, we knew he's an old deer because I had some pictures of him that week and the week before, and we was pretty sure what deer he was. And when he was a 5-year-old, he was a stud.
Yeah,
I mean, he was a stud at 5, and I don't think we had him at 6. We had him at 7 and 8, and then this year I killed him. I'm pretty sure he was a 9-year-old. But that deer, actually, I honestly did that deer a favor. I mean, I'm filming everything like that. You can't tell that he's ran down real bad.
Right.
But
yeah, he doesn't look all that bad.
No, he on don't. Camera. But when I shot him, I didn't think he was really ran down that bad.
Mm-hmm.
And we started tracking a deer. And even George, like, he looked at my bolt, and he's, man, it don't look very good. It almost looked like gutty, you know. And I was like, it don't stink, you know, or anything, you know. And I was like, well, I know. I said, I double lunged him. I said, it was a little bit high, but I said, it was definitely double lungs.
Yeah.
And we started tracking, and he's like, man, the blood just don't look that good, you know. Well, he got in there and he tried to run through an automata tree, and that's where he was. Yep. He was hung right there, almost standing up, you know. And we get up there, and he actually had some infection coming out of his nose, and I don't know if he may have been 150 pounds, you know. And George is like, oh man, you did him a favor.
You know, he wasn't gonna make it. Yeah.
And we got to looking, and you know, he actually was missing his front bottom, which I don't know, top, but his bottom teeth up front, they were pretty much all gone. And then on the sides, it was weird because I ended up boiling him, and his gums, his teeth were actually, his gums were gone, whereas you see all of his roots pretty well.
Yeah.
And he was down to, I mean, he was pretty well wore down.
Oh, his last year.
Yeah, you know, and we had, George had a couple pictures of him earlier this year, and I mean, he was beefed up pretty good. I don't know if he's injury or old age, and just got his immunity was bad, but he was infected pretty bad.
Yeah, yep. So. And yeah, he, like he said, you probably ended up doing him a favor. You're probably not making it through the winter in that kind of condition, and that's just another one of those things we were talking about earlier. Like, there's so many things out there that can kill him, especially like, it's so rare to see him at over 7 years old. Well, 7 years old, you know. Over that is so rare.
It is.
And that's part of the reason why.
You know, and a lot of people, you know, I mean, like, so their goal for a year is to see one or two mature deer. And a lot of people actually don't get to see that.
Right.
You know, a lot of people think they've seen mature deer, and then they're like, when they actually see one, they're like, oh my gosh, that's like a Brahma bull standing there, you know.
Right.
And, you know, with our ground, the way it's managed and everything, if we hunt two or three times and usually don't see a 5 or 6 year old deer, you know, something's up, you know. But every year shed season, we pick up a few deadheads because it's just, they just don't make it through the winter. You know, they're old enough or, you know, something happens. But yeah, usually they're a bigger, older deer, you know.
Yeah, that's shed hunting coming up here, which, when do you normally like to start shed hunting? Because I actually had another picture, a different deer that had shed when I was going through those cards today. So I got two pictures now, at least, of deer that have dropped both sides. But when do you try to start usually?
I'd say like 25% of them is probably lost right now.
Yeah.
I usually go the last 2 weeks of February.
Yeah.
And but I watch my cameras.
Yeah.
You know, and I got them on the food.
Right.
And when they start,
you can start seeing them.
Yeah. There's some spots, you know, that we try not to get in, and just try to let them shed before we get in there and try to push them out. But people, you know, I mean, keeping people off your shed hunting is a lot harder than keeping off your deer hunting, you know.
Yeah.
And I mean, we've had people ask to shed hunting. I mean, we don't care a lot of times, you know. But I shouldn't have said that. I mean, like, a lot of times I'll tell them, you know, hey, after my boy gets in there, because that's what my son and one of his buddies, they love shed hunting.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, 90% of the time you only find half the side, so the other side's got to be somewhere around there, you know.
Right.
You know, and I found them, you know, half mile apart before, you know.
Yep.
But yeah, March usually is going to be your best month.
That's usually what I shoot for, because where I go, I like to walk it once and have a pretty good, like, by March, first week of March, I'm pretty sure most of them have dropped. So, like, I feel like I can walk it once and be pretty confident that if it was there, like, I either just missed it or it wasn't there. Yeah. You know, they didn't drop on me, you know what I mean?
Yep. Yeah, that's, last year they held late. Later than usual. I mean, there's a lot of deer still carrying almost in April last year. And I really thought we'd find a bunch of old sheds this year, and we still could. I mean, I made one circle the other day, and I went in there and pulled a blind out of that where that three-year-old had already lost.
That half-rack one, yeah.
And I pretty much combed that woods, and, I mean, he could have lost it in there easy enough, but I didn't see it, you know.
Yeah.
There was a lot of sign in there. And that's another reason I shed hunt. It's just to see the sign. And honestly, I picked out a tree on the south side to have a different wind to hunt that in there. And just from what I watched, the deer this year moving around, and my crops are going to change, so I'm going to have to adjust a little bit on that. So I've already picked a tree out and pretty much see what I've got to cut, and I'll probably do that in the next 2 or 3 weeks, honestly, just get everything cut.
Right.
You know.
That's something that we've talked a lot about with I don't remember if it was a Friday episode I did, but then Austin Stone was back on, and we talked a lot about the postseason scouting thing. Mm-hmm. When you're getting out there shed hunting, even in March, where green up hasn't started yet, you can still see so much.
Oh, yeah.
Rubs and even scrapes that were probably active back in October and November, the ones you would want to know where they're at, right? And then trails, too. You can see trails right now so easy when you're walking out around there. And you figure out where deer are moving that maybe you didn't realize, or potential stand locations, places to put cameras. Like, I got a couple places I'm going to put cameras next year just based on what I've already seen pulling them this year.
Yep.
Walking around a little bit, like I went and pulled cameras, all my cameras, and I walked out of my way a little bit just to walk through because I knew at one place one had dropped at least, so I didn't like comb through everything, but I went a little bit out of the way on both places and just saw some things that, little notes for next year, you know.
Yeah, that place, I was actually kind of shocked I seen that deer in there because it's not too far, it's actually connected by fields to some of the property we got. And this is a piece I picked up a few years ago. And there's no food there. I mean, I haven't got the access to – it's a permission piece of ground.
Right.
Basically. And I haven't got really the access to – or permission to put the food there.
Yeah.
Not on that piece of ground of his. And so I was really kind of surprised to see him in there because all the food's a half mile or so west.
Mm-hmm.
And – honestly, when he went in there, there wasn't any fresh sign. Them deer, all of those deer have moved. They're gone. They're over west.
By the food.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, that's something that we were talking about with shed hunting, too, even having your late season food. Like, if you want to find the sheds from your deer and you got the food in the late season, that's as good a way as any to up your odds of them dropping on you, you know? Because there's generally... Like you're saying, it'd be odd for that deer to be staying over there. Generally, they're staying pretty close to the food now, too.
Because
they don't want to have to go that far.
No, they don't. A lot of times.
They don't want to have to burn the energy getting there.
Right.
You know, because that's the whole idea, is to conserve energy and then eat to stay warm.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that's, you know, I'm excited about getting out there now. I really, really want to go. But there's several of them still carrying right now.
Right.
But,
right.
And then... Like I said, I just don't want to blow them all out right now. But
yeah, give them a little more time.
Yeah, yeah. I could go in there and probably pick up a couple sheds, you know. I mean, I did pick up one the other day just driving back there. Dad and them, we ended up rabbit hunting one little small spot back there.
Mm-hmm.
And I drove back there and picked up a little three-point shed, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, you can find sheds right now. I've seen, actually, there's been several people that sent me pictures of deer that's lost, and there's been a few guys finding some sheds and stuff. But if you do got a spot that, you know, not everybody's supposed to be in, you know, it is good to wait.
Because
you're going to, majority of the time, they'll be there. Now, when it starts warming up and they haven't shed, if you start getting them warmer days, those deer, they will pull out of there.
Yeah.
They will.
Yep.
I've seen it happen a few times on our ground where we would just be loaded with them, and then all of a sudden we're getting them 60-degree days. I mean, it don't happen every year like that, but they'll move. They'll just go ahead and just pull on out.
Right. Well, they don't have a calendar.
Right.
You know, exactly. They don't realize it's only February 20th or whatever, or March 4th.
Right.
Like, it starts warming up. If we get consistent warm weather for a little bit, it's like, hey, time to go somewhere else.
Yeah, it's been... 6 or 7 years ago, but the second week of February, we started picking up sheds, and I don't know how many pair we found that year, but it was really, really cold, and they seemed like they dropped early, and they was all around the food. I mean, we picked up a bunch that year.
Yeah. Yeah, that definitely helps.
And one thing I like about the shed hunting is picking up sheds from deer that I haven't seen.
Yeah, you know, the new ones that moved in.
Yeah, you know. And usually every year we'll find some.
Yep. You know? Yep.
And then, like I said, you just then you just don't know what you're gonna find, you know. So mm-hmm. that's kind of like some of the cameras that I pulled that weren't cell cameras this year. I'm looking at them like, oh man, I never even knew that deer was there.
Yeah, where'd he come from?
Yeah, and then a lot of them were in there deep, or some of them I had cell cams there, but it was back in a pocket maybe or something, you know, where I didn't want to go all the way back there to that spot.
Mm-hmm.
And never had a picture of that deer on anything else, but I had pictures of him back there.
Right.
You know, and he was, most of the time, they're just deer that's kind of passing through during the rut.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there was a couple deer. I was like, oh, my gosh, I wish I'd known he'd been there, you know. I
mean, right. Might have went in there and hunted him.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing, too, is just sometimes I won't, but sometimes you just want to put the cell cams up
mm-hmm.
and just hunt.
And just go, yeah.
And but I know I won't.
They're a blessing and a curse, yeah. for sure.
Yeah.
I let it keep me from going a lot of times. It helps me to go other times, but then a lot of times, like, if there's nothing happening on the cell cameras, I'm like, I'll go somewhere else if I'm going to go, or maybe I'll just stay in and not go, get something else done, mm-hmm. you know, when in reality, there could be a 180-inch deer walking right behind the camera,
because they
only see, like, you know, this much in one direction.
Exactly.
You know, there's so many different places that deer could go, but
it's
like in our mind, I got this camera placed perfectly, and if they're in there, they got to go in front of it, you know, and then they just don't always. Yeah,
that's true. I mean, I've found that out from over the years, you know, like if I do have a cell cam out, I'll have a couple just regular cameras in the vicinity, you know, and there'll be a lot of times I'll get pictures of bucks that are just over just a little bit, you mm-hmm. know, and I'm like, I should have been there, you know. And this year, which I've got, you'll probably get a more barrage of pictures here for long, because I got like six more cameras to go and pull.
Hey, everybody, I appreciate you tuning in for another episode. If you don't already, go over to Instagram and Facebook and give us a follow at Ridge Hunter Outdoors. We also have a private Facebook group called Ridge Hunter Nation, where you guys can have some input on the show. You can ask us questions. You can ask upcoming guests questions. You can tell us who you want us to have on and what you want us to talk about. And on top of all that, just use it as a regular hunting group. Share your stories, your success, pictures, your failures, whatever it is. That's all at Ridge Hunter Nation on Facebook. Our website is ridgehunteroutdoors.com. That's where you're going to find more info on the consulting and management services that we provide. We also have the podcast posted on the website with some other content as well. And we have our merchandise and our food plot seed. And if you find any of that stuff that you want, make sure you use the discount code RHOPOD. That's all caps, no space. And you get 10% off your entire order there. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or anywhere else that lets you do so, make sure you rate and review. That helps us, and give us a follow there too. YouTube, our channel is Ridge Hunter Outdoors. You can subscribe to that, hit the notification bell so you know when everything comes out. The podcast will be posted there, as is our Fall Pursuit show, which we'll have more of coming up next season. You guys can go back and rewatch everything that we did this year. We had 10 episodes on that. We're hopefully going to do some turkey hunting this spring, and of course, we'll have all our off-season content on YouTube as well. So thanks to everybody who already does follow and subscribe. If you don't, make sure you go do that. Now let's get back to the episode.
Everything I've pulled from the 9th to the 14th was just crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's when it really happened this year.
Yep.
And then my second time was right before Thanksgiving for about 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just buck after buck after buck again at that time.
Yeah.
And then were the two times this year that, I mean, just every buck that I thought was there was daylighting at that time, mm-hmm. you know. And I mean there was bucks chasing. I had like 25 bucks one day on that one camera chasing.
Yeah,
you know,
that's,
I mean,
crazy.
They were running everywhere in there, you know.
Yep. I'm going through all the cell cameras now and pulling the cards, putting them on the computer, mm-hmm. the pictures. And you know, sometimes, like, I forget which cameras it is, but they'll like send a couple of the pictures, but they might take more than they send.
Oh yeah,
sometimes
spy points are,
and then like, yeah. Yep. And then, like, obviously the resolution's better on all of them, so I can mm-hmm. see more. Like, there was a deer that was up on the north farm this year that he was probably 4, but I just, that's part of the reason I didn't hunt him, because I thought if I did go, I might shoot him.
Yeah.
And I think he's got the potential to be a really, He's not going to be real high scoring, but he's a cool deer because he's real tight racked, real tall 8-pointer. And he's never going to be like real special score wise, but I think at 5.5, like he could be super tall, still real tight rack probably, but he comes way in, you know, one of those deer. But I had pictures of him that I didn't get in HD or that I did. And then I got the other two, obviously, on the card because there's a 3-picture burst. I'm like, man, he looks pretty good, you know. But I'm somewhat glad that I didn't go hunt him because then if he'll be 5.5 next year, and he could be a really nice, cool deer, you know. And but yeah, I'm going through and doing all that right now. So when I get that done, I'll go through and kind of look at the dates and everything. Like I'm separating everything out. But I would guess that mine are going to show pretty similar to that.
Yeah.
Because off the top of my head right now, when you talked about around Thanksgiving, I remember thinking today on a few of the buck pictures I saw that they were all right around like 24th, 25th, 26th, 27th, somewhere in there, you know.
Yeah, I went through and was like pretty much – I was going through kind of like categorizing everything, you know, as far as like – what stands were hot at this time and here and what bucks were here, where were they daylighting the most and everything, and just trying to figure out for next year.
Yep.
And there was a few days I was in the wrong county, I could tell you that.
Yeah. Yep. It happens.
And, you know, you just said it a second ago about your cell cams. I do the same thing. I pull the card at the end of the year, the ones I take down, I put in there. And one of the nicer bucks that I've got a picture of this year, I never got that picture, you know. And I was like, oh, my gosh, he was a stud, you know. And I never knew I had him.
I had one like that last year. It was like the 20-something to the December, late December. He was chasing like 2 or 3 does through there, like 150-inch deer. Never got the picture of him. Never knew he was there. That's the only picture I ever got of him. But, like, 15 yards in front of my stand, you know.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean I would have killed him, but I might have went and hunted him, you know.
Yeah.
Might have gave me a little bit of reason to go in the late season.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. That's this deer here. He was a late season deer, so, I mean, he might have been killable, you know.
Right.
So.
Yep. That's another thing that starts now is the, like, when you go through all your trail cameras and stuff, that's just another thing to build towards next year.
Oh yeah,
like with your postseason scouting. Yeah. That may be what I talk about tomorrow on the for Friday's episode. So,
yeah, I was kind of not really doom and gloom for next year, you know.
Right,
and you know, believe me, I get to hunt more deer than most people get to hunt, and but I didn't think we was gonna have a good number of bucks to hunt next year, and. After I started going through cameras, I'm like, I'm pretty pumped for next year.
Right. Yeah. You got some that should be really nice.
Oh, man. That one camera I pulled, I kept sending you pictures. I was like, man, there were some studs in there.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Yep.
I mean, some big, big mature deer.
Yeah.
You know.
I think I paid for last year this year because I had a handful of really nice deer that I was able to hunt on the two properties that, again, are not that big, but there were so many deer that I would have shot last year and ended up getting to shoot a couple of them. But this year it was like early, I had, you know, 3 or 4 deer that pretty nice that I would have shot, but gosh, by the middle of November it was just like dead.
Yeah.
You know, so I think I paid for last year a little bit this year, so I'm looking forward to getting a start on next year and seeing what's going to be around, because there still were some younger bucks that I think could be decent, like that 1 4.5-year-old I was talking about, and then hopefully the shed buck's still out there somewhere, you know. Who knows what he could be at 6.5.
So there's one thing I'm going to do this year is I'm going to be a little more aggressive. I'm going to go in a little deeper and hunt this year.
Yeah.
And I think I miss out quite a bit. I've been looking at a couple spots where I'm pretty sure I could get in there deep and not really hurt it too much.
Right.
And hopefully that first set or something, I get a good one.
Yep.
But there's a couple spots that, well, the last 2 years I've looked at them and I'm like, I need to be here because I am missing out.
Oh, yeah.
One of the main areas during this rut where every buck's coming through here, you know, just from cameras and stuff like that. And I don't go in there because it's not the walk that bothers me. It's the 300 yards of timber that I have to go through, you know?
Yep.
And it's one of them things I'm just going to have to get up real early and just go in there and set. It's probably be an all-day set.
Yep. You know? I've got some areas like that that's like, I kind of get caught in, I want it to be perfect. Like, I want to have the wind just be solid, not giving up anything. Mm-hmm. But there's places that I really need to be. Like, you're not always going to be able to have everything, you know what I mean? Like, you might have to give them somewhere.
Right.
And then just, like, the risk-reward thing.
Yeah.
Maybe they get downwind of me and bust me, but maybe they come on this side of me and I can kill them.
Yeah.
You know, it's places, that, like you're talking about, like, really good spots where I need to be, mm-hmm. probably. Like, this year especially, I just kind of stayed out of for different reasons. And like you said, if you got to go in there early or whatever and just sit all day.
Yeah.
And maybe it's that first time.
Yep.
But, you know, it's like, I forget who was saying it, but when that buck gets up and walks, no matter where the wind's out of, how many trees are on the upwind side of him that you could be sitting and killing?
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah, I've went through and, and of course, one spot, there's not anything where I want it to be.
Right. Of course.
And then another spot, you know, I'm like, oh, it's like this tree's like glowing, you know, like I should have been there, you know.
Just and sun rays coming down on it.
Yeah, so I'm like, man, I'm there next year, you know. And I really think during the rut, everything comes through there. Now, I'm going to kill one direction.
Right.
But I'm just killing one direction. And and getting in there in the morning, you know, if I'm going to kill him, I think I'll kill him when he's coming back from the food.
Exactly.
And if it works out, it's going to be good. You know?
Yep.
I mean, but there's a lot of our stands and stuff like that. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see good deer. We'll see big deer sometimes, you know. But are we going to get that shot? You know?
Right.
You know, sitting over the food, you know, sometimes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm probably going to see a really good deer sometime or another, you know. But am I going to get that shot?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like I need to get back in there and try to find where – if I can cut him off.
Get him funneled down a little more.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, and then I've got another spot this year where basically I'm going to go in there and I found a funnel and I've found basically from watching them this year and stuff, what they done. And basically I'm going to go in there and I'm going to lay down. I'm going to hinge cut a row about 60 yards.
Mm-hmm.
And basically lay everything down where a deer won't walk through it. And I'm going to put my stand at the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to make them come around it.
Yeah.
And make them to where they're not going to prefer to go through that thick stuff when I'm going to give them a real good area to come out front. And hopefully that'll help.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah, I think that's something you can do. And what I'll tell people a lot of times is, or like if we go do a consultation or something and the guys want to know about that, is like you can't generally take a deer, if he wants to be on this side of your 80-acre property, you're not going to make him go over here.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can make it easier for him to go 60 yards in one direction, you know what I mean? Like that you can accomplish, you know? You can. They're still going to do what they want to do. Mm-hmm. You can't force them out of that to an extreme. But if you can make it easier for them, nine times out of ten, they're going to take that. Now, there's going to be the one time out of ten where he does something stupid that you didn't think he would do.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But you can set things up like that, like what you're talking about, and have a lot of success just helping them, funnel them where you want them to go.
Yeah.
And they're going to use it, you know?
Yeah.
As long as it's close enough to where they want to be anyway.
Exactly. You know, we'll have, say we have a big hinge cut where the does are at, you know, I've always got, usually got one or two stands on either side, and it's usually 40 yards out. And if you can slip in there and get in there, a lot of times that buck, he'll walk that whole outside of that hinge cut with that wind blowing to him, and he's just hint checking that whole thing down through there.
Yep.
And well, I mean, that's a good place to kill a deer.
I mean,
you basically made him do, you know, what you wanted him to do, you know, basically, you know. Because, like, a lot of our hinge cuts, you know, I mean, there'll be a rough draw that goes up through there. Well, a lot of times he's going to cruise that edge with on the downwind side. If you can get back, hopefully far enough, you know, to where you can catch him doing that cruising, you can kill him that way.
Yeah,
you know?
For sure. Well, you got anything else you want to hit before we get out here? We had a lot of stuff tonight.
Nope, I'm excited for next year, really.
Yeah.
This is one of the first years. It's been a long time since I've actually had a pretty exciting year, really, where I'm just can't wait for next year.
Yeah, we talked about, well, a couple episodes of Nate and Blake, and then I think on the campfire episode, how this is the first year I've been as excited as I am this early for the next season. And a lot of it has to do with the filming and stuff. It was a ton of fun this year, I thought. And that's got me excited for next year, what's going to be bigger and better and how we can make it better.
Right.
And just seeing what's going to come back and what we can get on video and all that kind of stuff. I think it'll be fun.
So I got another question. Is Uncle Jeff settled down, Nanny?
No. You know him as well as I do. You know him as well as I do.
But no, I'm ready for next year. I'm ready to, I'm pretty much a solo hunter, but I'm ready to kind of just maybe like start doing a little bit of a group hunting and stuff like that, you know, and make it more fun.
That's what's made it as fun as anything for me this year. Cause like before I'd pretty much going by myself, you know, and just going, but getting to hunt with Nate and Blake and Jeff and Dad a little bit this year and everybody. And then just even though we didn't hunt together, but like going out and, and hunting there, like it's fun. It adds an element to it.
I know what you mean too, because you know you go to a spot, a new spot, and and like where I killed that last buck.
Yeah,
I knew that buck was there, but also I was sitting there thinking, what else is going to pop out here?
Right,
because I know there's big deer here. Right, so you got that. You're like, man, what's going to come
just
out?
Just at any second.
What's going to come out here, you know? Yep. And that's what makes it exciting, too.
For sure.
You know?
Yep. But that sounds like a good place to leave it.
All right.
For tonight. So I appreciate you coming in, making the drive down, or over. I know it ain't that far, but.
No problem.
You got to work in the morning, right?
Yeah.
So.
Wow, I'd be coyote hunting right now.
So I'm taking away from your coyote hunting.
Nah. I need a break every now and then.
Yeah, that's right. Keep it fresh.
I took about a week off, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably itching to get back after them, huh?
Yeah, tomorrow night.
There you go.
Yep.
All right. Well, thanks everybody for tuning in, and we'll catch you on the next one.